Baby, it is cold outside. Zero right now. Wind chill 21 below. We've been down to 25 below on the wind chill chart this morning. We've had a low of so far of 1 below zero. And we're looking at a high today, maybe a few degrees above zero, like maybe 7 this afternoon or today. I'm not sure what. They were talking about steady or slowly falling temperatures, and it did pretty much do that in the overnight hours. But, it was actually fairly balmy when I went out to get in the car this morning. It was, I think it was 12 degrees or something like that.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Break out the sunscreen.
It was windy as heck, though, and I was glad that I, just getting, in fact, the first thing I had to do was I did a little bit of shoveling, I just took one shovel path down the driveway so I could walk without having to walk in the snow. And then I shoveled a path to the car, the street. And then I got to the car, and the car was encrusted in. And then I took I went to, did what you do. You go to the door, and I started to scrape away all of the things right around the edge of the door. Okay, and put the key. Yeah, I was able. I was able to unlock it, but the car was frozen shut. So I had to go get a little tiny one of those hand gardening spades, then and just use that to just sort of pry very gently on the edges of the door to get the thing to come open.
I do that with my ice scraper. I like to keep an extra one just in the house in case
it's too cold.
The problem is
that with an ice scraper is typically plastic and it'll break right off.
That's why investing in a metal one is a good investment.
A metal one is
also
a spade in the garage is a good thing to have.
Also
too.
Something I use, I make my own homemade de-icer. It's half water, half white distilled vinegar, and a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
And just keep a bottle of that
maybe
around.
Okay.
It's a lot cheaper than buying those spray cans at Walmart.
He's going to take it to the market, yeah.
They already have some pre-bottled de-icers on the market, and none of them work as good as the one I make.
Well, see, there you go.
And when the season's done, you shake it up with some vinaigrette and pour it on a salad, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
With a little bit of olive oil. I would never use white distilled vinegar on a salad.
No, I know.
It's far too bitter.
All right, anyway, 754-1490. We're talking about anything and everything. Mikey J., Colin Letty across the console. Steve Hexum with you today on the talk show. It is an open phone Thursday today, and Mikey J. is here at the beginning. Believe it or not, the chairperson of the Iowa Democratic Party has resigned.
What?
I know.
Who'd have thunk?
Yes.
You mean the person responsible for the giant mess that...
Now, he claims he's not one who's
not
totally
solely responsible.
Solely responsible. That is, the Democratic National Committee was concerned about having any of this information about the app get out because they were afraid that, somebody might hack it. You know, but the National Security Agency volunteered to do a complete beta test on that a month ahead of time.
Weird,
yes, and to make sure that it was absolutely secure.
Yeah, and
secure.
They didn't
do it.
Didn't take.
And then they also, so that was mistake number one.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's total negligence, or do you think that they thought that there was going to be some nefarious attempt, you know, by the president? Or, you know, I know that many liberals have this... The far left liberals.
Leftists.
They feel that the government is this evil entity by Donald Trump
and
trying to undermine everything at any chance.
It could have been a combination of any of those things.
Most likely it's just total negligence. People
that's not doing their job.
Absolutely.
Well, the two things that they did wrong is they didn't test the app. They didn't fully test an app, and they expected it to work perfectly. Right. They did not. In fact, they barely tested the app. Most people didn't get the app until directly before the talk. They didn't want to have too many people, you know, because they wanted to make sure the app was very secure. Well, they wanted to make sure the app was so secure that they made it so it was unworkable, as what they did. And since nobody had tested it and it had not been worked right, and then they also made mistake number two, which was even the worst mistake. They could have had a bank of operators that were there in Des Moines.
They didn't have a backup plan
to tabulate, to literally tabulate by hand, so that okay, if the app's not working, if your app is not working, you simply will do what you did before. What they did for decades before,
yeah.
the precinct captain would call in the results.
And why not just stick with that system? It seemed to work pretty good.
And why not? Exactly. Why not?
Well, and why you would rely on this app so much. I mean, if the common sense says, okay, let's do it the exact same way we've done it every single year, but let's also let people use this app and let's use this election to test it.
I really think...
And let everyone just try it out. Just say, this app, we want to try to use this in the future. Let's use this election and test it out. If the numbers match up, we'll use it next time. If it doesn't, we need to develop it a little bit more. I think they should have set all the framework to do it the way that they've done it for years use this app to supplement them.
I have a theory about the whole app situation. I feel like they were trying to market this caucus, maybe try and skew it a bit more towards the younger crowd of voters. And I think young voter kids aren't going to show up to a caucus, say, raise your hand and wait for results.
I think the Democrats are historically get underperforming numbers when it comes to voter turnout. And so, part of that would be trying to get some younger folks, but also if you make it easier for people, because the caucuses are a pain in the butt. You have to go, take time out of your day
election,
to go to a physical location, stand there, raise your hand. Who knows how long it's going to take and whatnot. If all you had to do is go in, use an app, and just wait a few minutes, they get everyone through the app. And then if it makes the process easier, then great. But it didn't seem to help them in any facet.
You know? No.
And again, the other thing is that, New Hampshire has the first in the nation primary, okay? They have that by decree. Iowa had the first in the nation caucus, which is supposed to be the first test of political strength. That's why Iowa got all the, that's why the eyes of the world. There were anchors and Great Britain, Germany, there was all over the world they had correspondents, anchor persons, reporters, all of them were in Des Moines, all ready to get this information directly to wherever they were in the world, and it failed miserably. The app did, and so the entire night there was zero. Not a single piece of information to give out other than to basically, they had people that were at caucuses and let's go to the caucus now because we've got no information about anything else. And so it was a total failure. It embarrassed the state of Iowa. It embarrassed the Iowa Democratic Party. It was a total failure of the end. And frankly, maybe the good thing about it is, maybe it should say, maybe we shouldn't be the first in the nation test of political party strength. Maybe it should be New Hampshire. They were the one that was always the first primary. And maybe we should simply say, okay, a caucus, you want to get people involved in the process? Great. But don't have your caucus be what is hinging on political preference.
Well, and why are we doing this where we go to one state and do it, and then go to the next state and do it, and then go to the next state and do it? It seems so.
Why don't we do
such a waste of time? Why don't we do every state on the same day?
A lot of people have said that. A lot of people would. Doug Steffen, who's on directly ahead of us, Doug would say the same thing. A national primary.
Because it seems the way they've set up this whole campaign. The way it goes, it's set up so these people can make the most amount of money, to raise just an ungodly amount of campaign money.
It's one state at a time.
So,
it's all about money.
Yeah, that's what it seems to me. We had a good showing last week at this state. Give me more money so I can go to a new state and do the same thing.
How much did all of the major television stations in Iowa, how much did they rake in from all of these candidates who were...
Well, it depends on what kind of sponsors they got, how much they're paying for
what they're paying for the time, all political ads get the lowest rate on the rate card, okay?
And in general, when the commercials come on, people are flipping the channels.
Sometimes, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's like, okay, well, it's too, it, like, it's like, you might just flip your channel.
I usually do.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'd say a lot of people would just say, oh, hell, you know, it's going to be back. It'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Or they're looking down at their phones.
How many times did people go to YouTube to go watch a YouTube video and have to wait for the 30-second or the whatever commercial to play?
There's so many political ads on YouTube.
Unless you're like me and you use ad blocker.
Well, that's fine. But the fact that,
We like to support companies with advertising there. Colin.
I'm just in general, I don't like being overflooded. During the caucus time is usually, during election times and for political ads, is usually the only time I turn it on because I'm just sick of seeing it every 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I think that all the streaming channels, also had when they had a local break, local break was all political advertising.
Every other commercial break, like I'm at the gym, I use Spotify, I listen to music when I work out. Every time they go to commercial break, it's like four political ads and it's just back to the music.
Yeah.
Every streaming platform possible has these ads on them.
How many hours a day do you have your ears plugged into something? Do you have them plugged in while you're sleeping?
No, not usually.
Okay, not usually.
I do. I probably spend at least 6 hours a day with, outside of being here, all the headphone wearing I do here at the radio station. I usually, the minute I get off of work, I listen to podcasts on the way home. When I get home, I put my headphones on, I finish that podcast and make dinner. I'll listen to, some interviews that have come out or...
I'm going to Norway in the summertime and we're looking at, trying to get sleep on an airplane.
I thought you were going to say on a reindeer.
No. The reindeers are way up north.
Oh, okay. It's Norway. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. But you know what? and they've got princesses there too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Regardless, it was. But I think what I was looking for, and what I have found is that I've used actually the headphones actually look a lot like these, but they're noise canceling.
Yes, noise-canceling headphones are amazing.
And it's amazing. You're right.
I own a pair of Bluetooth noise-canceling headphones, so they're cordless. And I usually wear those when I'm cleaning my house.
If you have noise-canceling headsets without any, I can just put I don't have to put anything. I'll put just a little white noise in there, and I don't hear the plane noise at all. I'm just looking at it because we're going to be, it's going to be a long, it's a 7.5 hour or 8 hour, it's a 7.5 hour direct, nonstop flight. And from Chicago straight to Amsterdam.
I couldn't do that. I can barely last I think the longest flight I've ever taken was 6 hours.
Yeah.
And it was from O'Hare to Arizona.
But we're doing 8 hours. That's one Lord of the Rings marathon, man.
Believe it or not, that's actually what I did on that flight.
And
it was the extended version, so I didn't even get to the end of Return of the King.
We're doing nonstop to and a nonstop from Amsterdam. We're flying directly to. We're spending 3 days in Amsterdam to kind of acclimate ourselves to.
Amsterdam's.
I was going to say to acclimate ourselves to the time change mainly, so that we can hopefully be.
Amsterdam's an interesting place.
We've got three rooms that we've got all booked together, veranda rooms. They're balcony rooms. On board ship, and so we can open up all of the barriers or those screens between the cabins or between the staterooms or whatever you want to call them, and so we can have basically a 300 square foot basically balcony or front, so everybody can kind of go back and forth to whatever room
they
want.
That sounds nice.
Anyway.
A little bit of advice, if you're looking for something to do on the plane and you don't want to watch anything and you don't feel like sleeping, audiobooks are a great, great choice.
I've gotten two pieces of advice on a long flight. Flight leaves, I believe, at about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I'll be getting into Amsterdam at about 9 a.m. the next day, okay?
All right.
No sleep.
Just go right into it.
Well, my daughter said, whatever you do, try as hard as you can, try and get some sleep. Get whatever sleep you can on the plane and whatever way you can. And then when you get off, as soon as you arrive, okay, whatever you do, you go to the hotel. We got hotels booked, but if when you go to the hotel, whatever you do, if you get into the room, do not go to sleep. Do not try to take a nap. Do not try to do anything like that. Get out and, no napping, no anything, just because you wouldn't be napping. You'd be simply crashed. Just keep on, she said, keep on going, keep the adrenaline rush or whatever it takes, and just keep on moving as much as you can. And then when you do go to bed or go to sleep, you can go to sleep relatively early in the evening, but that's fine, but it's got to be evening in their time.
Yeah.
And jet lag is not fun.
And otherwise, when you wake up, you'll be that much closer to being out of the jet lag phenomenon. But that's and then ready to do it.
I was just going to suggest when it's time to go to sleep, there's several coffee shops in Amsterdam, I believe, that they sell a natural sleeping medicine.
Something definitely
it will mellow you out.
They're
very
right
well
quick.
Known for it.
I will tell you. We did look it up. My wife looked it up, and it was if it's coffee shop and there's no space between coffee and shop, that's your kind of coffee shop.
Okay? Really?
Yes.
That's how you tell.
Now, if there's coffee space shop, it's a real coffee shop.
So beware, travelers. Beware. Yeah. It might be a long day if you go in the wrong one.
Make sure you go to the one that does
not. Do your research before you travel anywhere.
Unless you're really wanting to go to the one that doesn't have the space between
there. Yeah. Your coffee's not supposed to smell like that.
All right.
Yeah.
It is. Nope. We're talking about everything and anything.
Unless you want it to.
But I think the other thing is, I think the bottom line here as we go back to what we were talking about is the reality was Iowa, the chairman of the Democratic Party in Iowa, he's resigned. But the fact is, if I'm a network, or if I'm anyone connected to the Democratic National Committee, or I'm looking at this whole process of what can we do to make things better, I think what they really wanted to do. And what Iowa wanted to do was get all of these candidates to come so people can see them, which a lot of people did, and also get more and more money to come in. We got some money, but I think it was Elizabeth Warren that bought the largest block of airtime on this radio station. I don't know. Did you get any political on your radio station?
Here and there, I had a few, but not too many. I think you got the brunt of it.
Yeah, I think we got most of it over here on KBOR.
Yeah, well, and that would make sense. But the reality is the television stations made whatever money they and some of them, as I said, you do four ads in a row. Yeah, even if it's at your lowest rate.
Another aspect of this whole caucus fiasco is this company that made this app. They're called Shadow, is the name of the company.
Who owns the company? They're done for.
Yeah, it just goes to show that that they're not always picking the best people to do these jobs. They're picking the people that are in their circle of friends and that are associated with people that they know. So this company was a small startup company, which should never have been given the responsibility of having anything to do with our election because they hadn't hardly put out any sort of product yet. They were a startup company.
If you go to a company that actually has the capacity to make good working apps, like you go to Facebook and ask them to do it, they'll probably make you one that works right off the bat.
Yeah. They have experts and professionals that know exactly what they're doing. But this company, the reason they chose it was because, Hillary Clinton had given some money to that company. Oh, Pete Buttigieg gave them some money and invested in it originally. Some people that own this company know a lot of, they rub elbows with the Democrats. So
and then
somebody gave this company a contract that they didn't deserve.
They're working with their friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they could give their friends money, and then it blew up in their face, and now it made them look stupid.
The question is, will this kill the caucuses?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it has.
I don't think it will.
I would agree.
I think it's shown how arbitrary it is because we didn't know the results of this for a week almost before we got a final count?
I think most, for the most part, are the caucuses going away anytime soon? No. Are people going to take it way less seriously? Absolutely.
Yeah. I think this has hurt the credibility of the Iowa caucus.
It certainly has. Exactly. We've got news on the way next.
I'm Michael Braskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College Basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. Hear Live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
That bright, snow-melting sun and the birds chirping means springtime's coming fast. And springtime means project season. Home improvements, landscaping, that to-do list that's been piling up all winter that you've been meaning to get to, but it's never been nice enough and you swear you're gonna get to it. Whew. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Just swing on down to the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd and Sunday, February 23rd. We'll set you up with over 60 of the area's finest experts and vendors all in one place, the Pizzazz Convention and Event Center. You'll be able to see all the latest trends and ideas and get any questions you need answered when it comes to decorating, remodeling, landscaping, farm equipment, pet containment, internet services, and so much more. We've got quite the variety. It's the Home Show, Saturday, February 22nd from 10 to 4, and Sunday, February 23rd from 11 to 3. Brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting.
New Dawn Power Wash Dish Spray.
Why let those dishes pile up? Dawn Dish Spray cleans them super fast. Just spray like a rinse. If you're taking a nap, clean those bottles in a snap. Just spray like a rinse.
Dawn Dish Spray, it's a spray for your dishes.
Smoothie mess in a blender. Clean it easy, clean it fast.
Just spray like a rinse.
New Dawn Power Wash Dish Spray.
How's it work again?
Just spray like a rinse.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, who deserves to win big this season? My two cents, good drivers. I mean, that's why there's Snapshot from Progressive. Let's go to Rick for some confusing metaphors.
Look, if you put a classically trained cellist in a garage band and you tell him to play Filet Mignon, I guarantee you, the meat on that burrito ain't gonna light the candle.
Thanks for clarifying, Rick.
If you're a good driver, there's no other way to say it. You deserve discounts with Snapshot. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. State Representatives Dennis Cahoon and David Kerr and Senator Tom Green will be holding a public forum this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. The forum will be held at the Burlington Public Library. This will be the second forum for the 2020 legislative session. They will be discussing issues that have arisen since the last forum, including education funding, health care, and any legislation that may pass before the first funnel deadline. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds will not comment on accusations made against state officials in a federal lawsuit involving sexual arousal experiments performed on residents of a state care center for people with intellectual disabilities. Two doctors and other former employees of Glenwood Resource Center sued a state agency and several officials Monday alleging conspiracy to silence complaints about sexual arousal research conducted by Jerry Ray. Ray is the former superintendent of the center. Reynolds says she can't comment on the lawsuit. She would not answer questions about when she learned of experimentation on patients and how much of Ray's background was checked before he was hired. A prosecutor told jurors the opening day of a murder trial that they were going on a journey in time to learn about an Iowa high school girl who was slain more than 40 years ago. Testimony began Wednesday in the trial of Jerry Burns. He has been accused of fatally stabbing 18-year-old Michelle Martininko at a Cedar Rapids mall. A prosecutor says Martininko's lungs and aorta were pierced and she lost about a third of her blood. The prosecutor says also DNA shows that Burns' blood was found at the crime scene. The Food and Drug Administration has issued a Class 1 recall, the most serious type of recall, on certain Medtronic MiniMed 600 series insulin pumps used by thousands of individuals with type 1 diabetes. There have been over 26,000 complaints, 2,175 injuries, and one death related to insulin pumps, according to a statement released by the FDA. The defect has to do with a retainer ring that does not lock in the insulin cartridges properly. The defective pumps provide an over or under delivery of insulin, which could then result in hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia.
hypoglycemia, according to a letter Medtronic sent to customers in November. The recall includes over 322,000 devices. Individuals with a defective pump should contact Medtronic for a replacement. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump pushing back against criticism over his longtime associate who was convicted of lying to Congress in the Russia probe and other charges.
What they did to Roger Stone was a disgrace in terms of everything.
The president on Fox Radio affiliate WTAM in Cleveland, Attorney General William Barr, under fire by Democrats for intervening in Stone's sentencing, will go before the House Judiciary Committee at the end of March. There's a surge in the coronavirus count out of China, which officials explain as a new method of diagnosis.
Over the last 24 hours, 15,000 new cases, taking the worldwide total to 60,000. The fear is many people remain undiagnosed in China. They haven't started to show symptoms yet, but they are still spreading the disease.
Fox's Benjamin Hall, the World Health Organization, saying the jump reflects a broader definition of cases. America's listening to Fox News.
Kelly O'Shea's isn't your average pub. Don't believe me? Well, there's nowhere else you can enjoy a friendly, high-energy environment while devouring mouth-watering, heartwarming pub and comfort food. Nowhere else has that same Irish authenticity and jaw-dropping lineup of on-tap specialty beers, liquors and coolers, and ice-cold drinks. And nowhere else can you enjoy the same daily and weekly specials like you can at Kelly O'Shea's. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A few flurries, otherwise mostly sunny and cold. A high today, 7. Wind chill values down to 20 below or colder. Northwest winds 10 to 15, gusting to 30 miles an hour. Clear tonight, down to 6 below. Wind chill values down to 15 below. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Sunny Friday, warmer up to 18. Partly cloudy Friday night, 15. And mostly cloudy Saturday, a high of 38 degrees. Partly sunny Sunday, 42. We got a partly sunny sky right now. 0, wind chill 21 below 0.
Has spending time indoors this winter left you with a list of home improvements that you can't put off any longer? Or have you been dreaming of building a new home? Stop promising you will do it and then not getting around to it or putting it off. Make 2020 a year to remember and get it done. Come out to Standard of Beaverdale and see Craig, John B., Dick, or John J. for awesome house plans or plans for a garage or barn. They can help get your dream home on paper, get your materials, and connect you with a reputable builder. If you want to remodel your kitchen or bath, see Scott or Rachel. They can help you every step of the way. Stop dreaming about how great it could be and start getting the work done so you can enjoy the end result. Spring is around the corner, so now is the perfect time to get your projects, big or small, underway, and Ken and the folks at Standard of Beaverdale are eager to help. Stop out and see us at Standard of Beaverdale and Beckman TV and Appliance.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Coronavirus cases have soared globally. Stocks are lower right out of the gate on Wall Street. The Dow down 0.5%, falling from a record high. Down 185 points. The NASDAQ down 0.75%, down 75 points. And the S&P is down 0.5%, down 18 points. Kraft Heinz is out with disappointing quarterly results. Sales fell 5%. Lower demand for cheese, bacon, and other products. PepsiCo's results beat Wall Street estimates for the quarter, but its outlook fell below expectations for 2020. Boeing reeling from exactly zero new plane orders in January as the MAX jets remain grounded and demand from Chinese airlines could dip because of coronavirus. A record number of 401k and IRA millionaires in the U.S. Fidelity says more than 440,000 of the retirement accounts it manages have at least $1 million in there. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous? With all the recent fluctuations, it's hard to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 86% accuracy. That's right, 86%. Founded by artificial intelligence software developers, Vantage Point gives traders and investors the advantage you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented proprietary technology is able to analyze massive quantities of data all around the world in seconds. No more guessing when to get out or when to stay, buying too high and selling too low. Text money to 411-411. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 411-411. We'll send you a link to our free demo so you can kick off the new year in the black with Vantage Point Software. Text money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
There's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
And good morning. It is a open phone Thursday. Mikey J is across the console. Colin Letty is across the console. Yeah, we talked about the Iowa caucuses and whether there is, you know, there has been talk of doing a national primary. There's also been talk of something Iowa had talked about a little bit on our Monday show, and that is doing regional, basically like Colin said, we could do it like the NFL, basically. You got the Northeast, then there all the states Northeast. So if you go in and you do, I think maybe five or six different segments, and so you do when you campaign, you get to campaign all in that one block. Yeah, for the northeastern states, and you go to the southeastern.
You do it in clusters,
basically. And then you have the south. Then you have the Midwest, and you get the mountain or the whatever mountain states, and then you get
the coast.
And then you get to the coast.
So yeah, that was basically my theory, where you have this group of states. So let's say one spot is the Carolinas, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, that region, and then you move over to the Midwest. So like Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio,
what
Wisconsin,
you do is,
Texas.
What you do is you know, five or six what you call Super Tuesday primaries, so that way, if you did every state do all at the same time, then what you'd have is
an election. You
would have, but what you'd have is you basically would have, because why would you bother to visit a lot of these states? Because if you're going to be taking it,
Yeah, well, I mean, it's you could use that same argument against them.
I suppose.
Why, if they aren't going to visit these states, if they're not going to come here anyway, if this is the only reason they're coming here is to try to pander to us on this one day a year, don't come here. Stay away. We don't need you. Well, I mean, it's just fake. We're just allowing them to come make fake platitudes and take their money.
We want their money.
That's all it is.
It's the money. It's hey, baby.
Money walks, money talks.
Yes, it is. It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins, so to speak, although I think these guys have to have an awful lot of Benjamins to be able to run. Anyway, it is. What did you talk about, Kirk Douglas's final words?
Yeah, I haven't done much research on this.
For those of you who didn't hear about this, legendary actor Kirk Douglas recently passed away at the age of 103, and apparently his last words were a doozy. Mike, what did you say?
It was something along the lines supporting Bloomberg for president.
Yeah.
You know, say go get him. Something along those lines.
I haven't got this, Mike. Yeah. Wasn't it go get a mic?
Go get a mic, or you can do it, Mike, or something along those lines.
I thought maybe you've got this.
I mean, you've got this.
Anyway.
It's something along those lines. It's quite the endorsement of somebody on their deathbed.
Use your dying breath to endorse a presidential candidate.
Let's talk about anything else that we've got on our plate right now. Cascade Bridge. What is the story on Cascade Bridge? They're looking for...
There's really no progress being made with that at all. Friends of Cascade presented their plan for their engineering study, what they need for funding and all that. Impact 7G came in and presented their findings, and basically there's no action being planned at all in the immediate.
in city council because there's so many other things they got to
get
to.
Well, no,
there's
no,
the downtown.
I understand that, but the fact is, this is not. I'm not talking about city council. I'm talking about the plan for what are they doing to get the public enthusiastic.
There was a survey put out earlier, right?
Yeah, Impact 7G has put out a survey. They want to get the Burlington folks.
They want to get public opinion.
They want to get your opinion on it. How important you think the bridge is, whether you think it should be open to vehicle traffic, how often you use that bridge or think you're going to use that bridge. I was going through the survey right now. It's not too many questions. It's basically, 15 questions or so. Things like, what do you think the economic benefits of the bridge are? Would you like to see them open it to vehicle traffic?
On a scale of one to five,
being most supportive, how supportive would you be of a tax increase to pay for the bridge? Things like that.
Yeah, a lot of zeros on that.
They want to get, they got to get, everyone's, if everybody likes this bridge but nobody wants to pay for it, well, then that makes it real easy.
Sorry.
We're not going to pay for it. And so there's a lot of these other questions they're trying to feel out the community for. Because sometimes the loudest voices are the ones that everyone hears the most. That may not necessarily be the overall feeling of the city. So they're trying to feel things out.
All right. So
it's a smart thing to do. And I just really wanted to clarify that in terms of the bridge, there's still nothing planned. There's no studies. Nobody's paying for anything. It's very much been firmly placed on the top of the list of secondary things in terms of city business.
It's city business will be way down the line. Now, what I'm talking about is they want to do, the Friends of Cascade want to do a separate new engineering study on this bridge to test its viability and whether it is viable to be.
And pay for it completely private funds.
And pay for that study with private funds.
Support them, their GoFundMe page, I'm pretty sure it's still up.
Well, and I'd have no idea how they're generating, whether generating the funds or how much this thing is going to cost. They were looking, I think, $10,000, $15,000 or something like that to at least get a preliminary study. And I think the city said, hey, go for it. It's worth it to certainly find out more, and it's worth it to find out exactly where we stand in terms of new, and what would be a cost?
That's really where I think that's a really smart decision. Is they're very much biding their time, getting all the options available until they plan a course of action with this bridge.
And we don't know. The last study was taken, I believe, in 2007 or something like that.
It was 2008.
Oh, 2008. It's 12 years later, and how much has changed in the situation? Obviously, I think the working bridges of Iowa, basically everyone says, look, you put in a bridge that was had grates in it, basically, which allowed all the water to drop down.
And thus it corroded.
And thus you added to the corrosion factor of the bridge. You shortened the lifespan of the bridge by doing it. So they're all any of the studies or any of the prospects or proposals all have a new roadbed, like I didn't pan some. Mm-hmm. Some say maybe it should be concrete or whatever, but it should be.
I believe a few weeks ago, after the Impact 7G meeting, we had a chart of all the price ranges of options, and there were such things as just completely bulldoze it, put a walking path down and up the hill. There was one where it said just leave the bridge where it is and just build a new one right next to it, which I don't think is the best course of action.
There was also simply using a non-vehicular, opening it up, building a what we call a walking bridge. And apparently Working Bridges has done a lot of walking or pedestrian and bicycling bridges and for non-motorized traffic. And if you're asking my opinion, selfishly or whatever, a non-motorized opening entrance into the park would be just fine, because it'd be a way to get to the park by walking. And you can walk in, you park your car on the other side, and you walk in.
And then you got to think of the issues of, I want to go to the park. Where am I going to put my car? Those things.
Well, it's not a real problem. There's plenty of parking spaces in the park. Trust me.
But yeah, I think that might actually be the best course of action. If you open up to foot and maybe also bicycle traffic,
or, you know, things like that, that might be the easiest and best option for everyone.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
We're not the ones that make the decisions.
No, we are not. 754-1490. If you got a comment, give me a call.
The anticipation of getting to the arena. The goosebumps hit you as the lights go down and the starting lineups are announced. The epic throwdown and the buzzer beater for the win. Don't miss a beat right here.
Travel to Indiana Thursday night at 6:30. Brought to you by Case Bank Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo and Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
That bright snow-melting sun and the birds chirping means springtime's coming fast. And springtime means project season. Home improvements, landscaping, that to-do list that's been piling up all winter that you've been meaning to get to, but it's never been nice enough and you swear you're gonna get to it. Whew. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Just swing on down to the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd and Sunday, February 23rd. We'll set you up with over 60 of the area's finest experts and vendors all in one place, the Pizzazz Convention and Event Center. You'll be able to see all the latest trends and ideas and get any questions you need answered when it comes to decorating, remodeling, landscaping, farm equipment, pet containment, internet services, and so much more. We've got quite the variety. It's the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd from 10 to 4 and Sunday, February 23rd from 11 to 3. Brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting.
We stand for people.
Farm Bureau works every day to create a vibrant future for agriculture, farm families, and our communities, benefiting Iowans from all walks of life, like Farm Bureau member Jeremy Atwood.
Growing up in high school, I was fortunate enough to receive the local county Farm Bureau scholarship that helped me in tuition costs when I went to Iowa State. We've doubled that scholarship and now offer two scholarships. Knowing that Farm Bureau is there and looks out for the interests of agriculture, I am very optimistic about the future of farming. Someday when my boys decide to return to the farm or help me in the farm, I know the Farm Bureau will still be there looking out for the best interests of the local farmer. Farm Bureau is a great leader when it comes to looking at all issues connected with rural agriculture in Iowa.
We're the Iowa Farm Bureau, a century strong and growing. To become a member, call your local county Farm Bureau today.
February brings thoughts of love, flowers, and candy. No one wants to talk about heart disease, but it's an important conversation. About half of adults have some form of heart disease. You can reduce your risk by eating more fruits and vegetables, reducing salt in your diet, moving more, and losing weight if you need to. Making these changes can improve your life today, and it may add days to your life. A healthy heart. That's Great River Medical Center's Valentine wish for you. Find heart-healthy recipes at greatriverhealth.org.
Swings, baby. A little
song.
Zoot Suit. Yeah, there you go. Stray Cats. Stray Cats. That's a Stray Cats song. Yeah, you know that, don't you?
I do. I believe that's the Cherry Pop and Daddy.
Oh, no, they're right. You're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that song from like the 90s?
Yeah. I was thinking of the Stray Cats because they had the same kind of swinging kind
that's
of.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't you test my big man knowledge, Steve Hexum.
I am not going to. I would not dream of doing that. I am a news guy. I'm a talk kind of guy, sort of like Doug Steffen when he starts. He's got, if you listen to Doug in the morning, he's got, it's Doug, Jen, and Victoria now. And if Doug used to sing a lot on the show. If ever he starts to even open his mouth to start to sing,
somebody else gets
then,
it.
Then they say, please, no.
No, please stop. It's funny. The people who can't sing often think they can.
Yeah, I know. He used to sing a lot.
Like
it
me.
Was worse. It was the worst at Christmas because, you know, a song would come out, a Christmas song would come out, and he'd be singing along to it or whatever. Or an oldie but goodie, so to speak. Yeah, but regardless of that, we're talking about anything and everything. It's been sort of a quiet day today, but you know what? It's cold. And, I mean, we're dealing with, Temperatures, this is probably what we have. Below zero this morning, below zero tomorrow morning. It'll be two days in a row below zero. Wind chills down to 25 below this morning.
Oh, that was awful.
That is cold. Colin walks here. No, he didn't walk here. He drove here without gloves.
Yeah, no gloves.
And
I completely forgot.
And his hands are like, you know, purple.
They walked in and they were almost like blue. And I chalk that up not to not owning gloves, it's my stupidity for leaving them in my apartment.
Well, and yes. Yeah, can you imagine that? And how did you clean your car off?
With his bare hands. Yeah.
Windshield brush and a couple bottles of water.
But barehanded.
No, actually, I had a towel, a towel I keep in the back seat of my car to clean off loose snow. I just wrapped that around one of my hands and just
remind this guy that he should probably be wearing gloves.
I probably should.
When the wind chill's well below zero.
I was running late.
Steve, why wear gloves when you can wrap your hand in towels?
I get it. I'm stupid.
I can't argue.
I'm not going to hear the end of this all day.
I can't argue with that. We did talk a little bit yesterday, or actually with our city council representative yesterday about the Memorial Auditorium and some of the plans over there, we had, I believe, Linda Murray talk about going to Dubuque and say, hey, you know what? They did a really nice job on their riverfront.
Yeah.
Now, the company says, mm-hmm. and the proposal originally says, you know what? Any hotel or anything would be down there would be
it's a secondary thing.
Would be complementary to the riverfront and would not be blocking the way.
For those of you who didn't catch the work session this past Monday, there was a presentation of some different concepts for the new riverfront, which a hotel was not even included in any of them. So basically the concept was the Port of Burlington and a few refurbishes to the auditorium, and in between those they were going to put a new green space, basically a park.
An amphitheater on the other side, basically between the riverfront and the auditorium. It seems to me like it's hard for me to believe there's enough room, but there is enough room.
There's plenty of room, and because they're going to be moving a rail from the rail company. And also another feature they're adding is a splash pad into that new park area. And also with these new cruise liners signing contracts to come to Burlington, they're probably going to do a refit on the docking down there, and you're going to put the docks right on that green space. And I think that as a concept really, really worked.
Yeah, you know what? I think, frankly, and in terms of any hotel, nothing's going to happen for at least a couple of years. Mm. They have to get in there.
The auditorium is their main priority.
Their auditorium and trying to figure out a way. And I have a feeling that they're going to find trying to remodel the auditorium is going to be a challenge beyond belief. How about that? Mm-hmm.
So for those of you worried about the hotel, just so you know, that is an if and when plan.
If and when, and the auditorium, yes, they'd like to get a greater capacity so that they can attract, because they need to get more. But can they attract? Like, how big can they make the auditorium, or how much expansion can they actually do? All right. Thanks for listening.